It's better over here.
After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
Struggling with mental health shouldn't be the norm. At Mindful Therapy Group, we specialize in connecting you with compassionate therapists to find the perfect fit for you. Mindful Therapy Group accepts most health insurances. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com to start your mental health journey today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Welcome back to hour number two of the ESPN 1320 Insiders. Get ready for the most up-to-date sports news and talk with the ESPN 1320 Insiders.
Hour number two, that's James Hamm. I'm Kyle Madsen. We are sponsored by Jiffy Lube, and we're hanging out with you until noon right here on ESPN 1320, Sacramento's sports leader. At noon, we'll hand it off to D'Lo and KC, and they will take you right up to 4 o'clock. We got playoff baseball on this radio station today.
Oh.
Yeah, we do. Playoffs were fun last night. Let me make sure I have the day and times right. Today, Braves at Padres, 5 p.m. The Padres looking to sweep that best of three game series in San Diego. Fernando Tatis Jr. had a two-run shot last night to get things going for the Padres. They won game one of that series 4-0. Vibes in San Diego look crazy.
Yeah, that's a good place to watch.
Depending on if they make the NLDS, depending on how some things shake out in life, I'm gonna have to scoot down to San Diego for a day.
Okay.
Taking a playoff game.
I'd like to go down and take in a playoff game. That'd be fun.
Down a roll? Just a little road trip?
That's a long road trip. That's maybe a flight.
Well, and I guess.
Flights are cheap right now. Flights are cheap right now. The tribal chief walked by. Was he?
Ignored us totally, which is par for the course.
Well, he should ignore us because we just absolutely thumped him in fantasy this
week.
Just
mollywopped him.
Yeah, that's right.
What did he have like the second highest score in the league?
Those are the worst.
Just so you know, like if you're listening, you're like, hey, we don't care about your fantasy team, but if we win this league, it's drinks on us. So unofficially.
Unofficially.
James and I are going to go grab a drink and we're going to tell you where we're going.
We'll like go to the Pine Cove so we can buy unlimited PBR on tap and our money will go further, Kyle.
I'm trying to see how many. I don't know. I'm not going to go through that. We're talking about the Kings right now. We can get to fantasy football on Friday. Fantasy Friday, 10:30 with Ferozidiki of Upper Hand Fantasy answering your fantasy football questions. Okay. We're talking about the Kings two guard stuff. With training camp officially underway, one of the things I can't shake, and I know yesterday I floated the theory that I'm workshopping that Kevin Huerter should start.
Yeah.
But at the same time, I feel like the Kings captured the identity that Mike Brown has been trying to get them to capture for the first 2 years or year and a half, year and three quarters that he was their coach. And I don't think it's a coincidence that they started to harness that identity, that really intense defensive team. I don't think it's a coincidence they started finding that when Keon Ellis started A, playing more, and then B, starting.
Yeah, I agree 100%.
And that's what I can't... I know what Kevin Huerter does as a shooter, and I know I made the case yesterday that, man, if you're getting the best version of him as a starter, then you probably need to make him a starter, et cetera, et cetera. But also, if you think DeMar DeRozan is going to help tick up your offense that little bit, and you think that what you did with Keon Ellis defensively in the starting lineup is sustainable for this entire season, mm-hmm. I don't know how you go away from that. I just don't know how I don't know how you could justify that if your entire ethos as a coach, as it is with Mike Brown, is like, hey, defense, defense, defense.
Yeah, I agree with you 100%. But again, these things, like we talked about this on the break, during the break, like you have to live in the nuance of this, right? You can't just say, hey, look, because Keon Ellis stepped on the court, they were better defensively. There's also at the same time that Keon Ellis gets a huge opportunity late in the season. There's a moment where, again, Malik Monk steps off the court and misses a bunch of time. And that's not me calling out Malik Monk as a bad defender or anything. I think Malik Monk can be a pretty solid defender. What I'm saying, the entire dynamic of the game changed. Like, the Kings became a slower paced team. They became like a more plodding team and a more defensive minded team down the stretch of the season, almost out of necessity because they didn't have one of their most dynamic playmakers.
Sure.
Right. So like all of these things change. But what we can say is that the Kings were not a good defensive team the year before. They were one of the worst defensive teams. They're 25-26 in the league in defensive rating. Then last year they took a leap forward, but they were just kind of like stuck at a certain point. And basically what we saw was that, like, as the season progressed, the Kings had one glaring problem that they could not figure out, and that was how to stop other teams from shooting the three-point shot.
Yeah.
Like, even when
It was uncanny.
Yes.
Worst three-point shooting team in the league, they're going to make 26 of 40.
They're going to set their franchise record for most makes in a...
And I swear to God, like five franchises did that against the Kings last year.
Yeah, and a little bit of that is a self-fulfilling prophecy, right? You go up against a team that isn't a good defensive team against the three-point shot, so you come into the game planning to shoot more threes. You come in with more confidence to shoot threes because that team's not good at the three ball. So it becomes, again, a self-fulfilling prophecy. But at the same time, when you put Keon Ellis on the court, the team like skyrocketed. Like defensively, like, and when you heard Mike Brown talk about it, like coming out of the break, if we were just a top eight team in defending the 3-point line, our defensive rating would go from where it's at to top 12, top 14, whatever it might be. That's exactly what happened.
Yeah.
They put Keon Ellis on the court. The defensive rating went plummeted. Like they were so much
better
defensively.
Which is good. You want your defensive rating to be low.
Yeah, so, I mean, they just became so much better defensively right away. And, you know, I asked De'Aaron about this yesterday about playing alongside Keon. He said, look, if you want to read more about it, you can go to thekingsbeat.com, and I wrote about it yesterday, and you can read all about what
Good
I wrote.
Plug.
But De'Aaron very specifically said, like, the second he stepped on the court as a rookie, you knew he knew how to play defense. You understood that his defensive, like, instincts were better than most of the other people on the court.
Yep.
He just has a knack for getting through a screen, going over the top, going underneath the screen. When he goes under a screen, he doesn't get hung up on the screen and he slides right back into place. He can block a shot going underneath the screen on a 3-point shot. Mm-hmm. That is unheard of. And the other thing I would point out, it's not what Keon Ellis does doesn't just impact like the guy he's defending. It impacts everything. And so we had De'Aaron Fox, who has always been a league average to slightly above league average defender, but with potential to be a great defender and a potential to be an outstanding steal guy. Through the first half of the season, he does fine steal-wise. In October, he has 4 steals. November, he has 14 steals in 9 games. In December, he has 24 steals in 13 games. January, 22 steals in 15 games.
Jeez.
In February, you put Keon Ellis into the rotation full-time. You put him into a starting lineup for part of these games. In February, in 11 games, 34 steals, almost over 3 steals a game. In March, 15 games, De'Aaron Fox had 35 steals.
Golly.
We're talking about, you know, 2.3 steals per game. In April, in 8 games, he had 17 steals. He leads the league in steals. And you know why he leads the league in steals? Because the on-ball pressure that Keon Ellis is putting on his guy is making bad passes from the other team that De'Aaron Fox is feasting on as one of the fastest players in the league.
Yeah.
And so he's just like, oh my gosh, look at that lollipop. I'm going to go steal it and go for a dunk.
Mm-hmm.
Again and again and again. And so I really do think, like, look, we can talk about fit versus best player. Mm-hmm. I think that Kevin Huerter has proven himself to be a really, really good NBA player, and Keon Ellis has yet to prove that he's a really good NBA player. Kevin Huerter is a better player. It's why he makes 17 or 18 million bucks. Mm-hmm. And it's not why Keon Ellis only makes 2 million. He only makes 2 million because he had to fight his way into the league.
Right.
And there will be a point where Keon Ellis gets paid.
Mm-hmm.
But the point is that sometimes fit is way more valuable and way more important than who's a better player.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where I keep coming back with this team. It's, you know, I get what Mike's saying. And I don't know if Mike is given, you know, telling us this to make sure that Kevin Huerter hears that it's still an open competition.
Mm-hmm.
That could very well be the case. But I will tell you that if you're going to have four great offensive players on the court to start a game, including DeMar DeRozan, De'Aaron Fox, Montez Sabonis, Keegan Murray, somebody has to play. Somebody, like, primary job mm-hmm. is to do the dirty work and to hit wide open threes mm-hmm. and to play defense.
Yeah.
And that is more Keon Ellis than it is Kevin Huerter. And that's not Kevin Herter's fault. It's just the dynamics have changed in Sacramento. It would look a lot different if instead of DeMar DeRozan, you went out and got Mikal Bridges. And he's a great defender.
Mm-hmm.
Now it's okay to have a Kevin Huerter next to him.
Right. The offensive version of Keon Ellis, kind of.
Yeah. Yeah. So it just becomes like team building is very complicated.
Yeah.
And I'm glad that I'm not the one who has to make these decisions.
No doubt.
And especially because
I'm going to make them on the radio, though.
Yeah, that's right. So, but it's complicated because, you know, like, how many times have we seen a position battle play out? And like, they're, you know, my first year we had Dante Green versus Omri Caspi, and it really became like this really weird. It's during the Twilight era, so it's like Team Jacob versus Team, what's his name?
Robert Pattinson.
Yeah,
Edward.
Edward. Yeah, Edward versus... So it becomes like, oh, there's these two warring factions. Someone's going to win. Dante Green started game one. The next nine games went to Omri Caspi. Game 11, Paul Westphal's like, okay, everyone keeps saying, like, whatever, I need to try something different. He put Jason Thompson at the small forward spot.
Hell yeah.
Like, that's... Like, sometimes that's how it plays out. I don't think that's how this is going to play out.
Yeah.
I think someone is going to win the starting job. I think they're going to be there for quite a while.
Yeah.
And depending on how the team does, if it's Keon Ellis in that starting lineup and the team is winning, that is the only thing that matters.
That's it.
That's it.
But if they start 2-6, then something might change. Mm-hmm. And that's the logical kind of inflection point with the lineup. But on the related to the two guard thing, I also wonder, because somebody in the chatty house at youtube.com/ESPN1320, somebody in the chatty house brought up, well, their defensive identity changed when the league changed how they blew the whistle.
Okay.
And I think that's an interesting point, because I do wonder, does that stick this year? Or is all of a sudden the ball pressure that Keon Ellis is playing with is going to earn him foul trouble early in games? Same thing with De'Aaron Fox. Like, De'Aaron Fox, when he went to defend somebody and just got in their jersey, right? He generated a lot of steals like that, because in part because there's Keegan Murray and Keon Ellis behind him. It's not a disaster if the point of attack breaks down. But I also think that there was an uptick in physicality that was allowed by the league,
mm-hmm.
which is not breaking news. Everybody saw it happen. I'm so fascinated to see, you know, the Kings obviously is what we're discussing, but just from a league-wide standpoint, how they officiate games to start the year, because I think that could play a role in how well the Keon Ellis starting lineup continues to work.
Okay, I agree that there was a massive change. Like, mm-hmm. I've never seen the league do anything like this in all my time covering.
Insane.
Yeah, it's absolutely insane. It's like every time you walk into a season, they do points of emphasis. We watch a video, they tell us these are points of emphasis. Please don't tweet about them, but these are the points of emphasis for this season. You get through like 6-7 games of the season, points of emphasis go out the window.
Just gone.
Sometimes they last a little bit longer and it's just annoying, but most of the time it doesn't.
Like, hey, nobody asked for carrying to be called more.
Yeah, nobody asked for that. Yeah, nobody asked for the carrying thing to happen. The players stopping short. You know, like pulling George Costanza's dad, like, you know, the Steph Curry, Trae Young, just walking in front of
get the player on your hip and then stop.
Stopping, yep. Right? Yep. They learn very quickly, hey, you're not going to get the calls, so just move on. But I would just point out, Kyle, that it wasn't just the Kings that had to play in the new rules. And when you have a team who's, let's say, 17th in defensive rating and the league changes the rules and you finish the league, the final 25 or 30 games of the season as like the number 8 defensive team in the league.
Sure.
And you drop your defensive rating all the way to number 13.
Mm-hmm.
That means that you figured out the new rules mm-hmm. and a bunch of other teams didn't. So you could say that all of a sudden the Kings just started playing harder defense. Or you can look at it and say, and they put in Keon Ellis. And so they're... Sure. Everyone had to play under those same rules. Not everyone's defensive rating improved by like 9 spots.
Yeah.
And that's just a reality. So I get it that, yeah, the rules change, but the rules change for everyone.
Yeah.
And so I think it's intriguing, though. It's a great conversation because, like, at the end of the day, like, Mike Brown, you said it in the beginning, Keon Ellis is the type of player that Mike Brown loves.
Mm-hmm.
He loves that type of player.
Yeah.
And it's because he's coached those types of players. You know, when he's in Golden State, it's Gary Payton II,
mm-hmm.
right? When he was with Greg Popovich in San Antonio, it's Bruce Bowen.
The entire team.
It's the entire team. But look at, it's Andre Iguodala. It's, again, Bruce Bowen. It's these guys that are unheralded, but they do so much to what, the only thing that matters. Mm-hmm. And the only thing that maters is winning.
Yeah.
And so if people's feelings get hurt or if a general manager wastes money on a player that isn't going to play a bunch, it doesn't matter because at the end of the day, if the win column keeps tallying,
that's it.
That's all that matters. And so it's on Mike to find the guy that's going to help you win the most games.
Yeah.
And whoever he thinks that is, he might be wrong.
Mm-hmm.
And then it might take a little while to change, but at the end of the day, that's what really should matter.
So let's loop in now the player that we have not really talked about yet in this starting shooting guard discussion and bring in Malik Monk. Mm-hmm. Because there are, I think, a large portion of Kings fans, I don't want to say a majority, there's a large portion of Kings fans, I believe D'Lo and KC, which is coming up at noon right here on ESPN 1320, I believe they're in this camp as well, that Malik should just start. Why would you not start your 5 best guys?
Mm-hmm.
I get it. I think that for me, I would prefer Malik Monk off the bench, just given what they can do rotationally with that. And it sounds like Mike Brown is in that same camp.
Yeah, I mean, Mike Brown is
not to brag.
Has coached in the NBA for a long time, mm-hmm. and for alongside two of the greatest coaches we've ever seen.
Mm-hmm.
Right, Greg Popovich in a small market. People keep telling me San Antonio is a big market now. It's still not a big market. It's still one of the smallest NBA markets. And what Greg Popovich has been able to build as a dynasty there in San Antonio is incredible. Steve Kerr, what he was able to build as a dynasty here and down the street in Golden State, absolutely incredible. And both of those coaches have always reserved a player that gives you pop.
Mm-hmm.
That's what it, pop off the bench is how Mike describes it. And it doesn't matter how good that player is. It doesn't matter if he really, really wants to start. And I love that Mike continues to compare Malik Monk to Manu Ginobili. And like for years, Manu Ginobili was the second best shooting guard in the NBA.
It was awesome.
Behind Kobe Bryant. And he came off the bench.
Mm-hmm.
And the Warriors and Spurs won 8 championships with those guys on the roster. 7 of those, according to Mike, 7 of those came with Andre Iguodala or Bruce Bowen. I mean, Manu Ginobili off the bench.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah.
And that's sometimes it's again, this is about team building. It's about how it's about opportunity. It's about how a guy being the leader off the bench will get more shot attempts than he would as the 4th or 5th option with the starting lineup. And people can say, how is Malik Monk going to be the 4th option on the Kings starting lineup?
Mm-hmm.
Because DeMar DeRozan, Domantas Sabonis, and De'Aaron Fox exist. And so what you don't want to do is take away from those guys to give to someone else when you can have that someone else come off the bench, get more opportunity for himself, and those other guys get more opportunity in the starting lineup.
Yeah.
So I think it's really interesting that not only does Mike bring up the Manu comparison, but he brings up Bruce Bowen in that comparison again and again. And he brought up yesterday, Bruce Bowen averaged 6 points a game for his career. and shot 39.3% from three. And one of the best defenders that the league has seen, mm-hmm. right? And he started while Manu Ginobili came off the bench. And then there's also this moment last season where he compared Keon Ellis to Bruce Bowen and their ability to fight through screens mm-hmm. and their ability to hit the three-point shot. And he's not saying that that Keon Ellis is Bruce Bowen, but there's only a few players that remind him of him, the way that he moves through a screen. Like, it's the pieces start to fall in place of what Mike's vision is that mm-hmm. we might see play out. And so I'm intrigued by it, but I think people who want to see Malik Monk start, that's okay because you got to love Malik Monk. Yeah. Everyone loves Malik Monk, right? Sure. That guy doesn't pay for a meal in Sacramento or a round of golf. But that doesn't mean that he's not in the right position for him. He's got paid. He can go have a Hall of Fame career if he wants. If he does the right things and he becomes the next Manu Ginobili, he definitely can have that type of impact on this city. He can be, you know, again, like Bobby Jackson, one of the most beloved Kings of all time, was a sixth man.
Mm-hmm.
And you need that type of player on your team in order to be great. And so I think it's interesting, but I also think Mike has kind of closed that door for now and said, this is who Malik is going to be right now. And if that changes at some point, it does. But building a team is more than about appeasing one player. It's more than making fans, you know, like appeasing fans who want to see the five best players on the court.
You'll see him to end games.
Yeah.
He'll close games.
And that's the other thing Mike says. It doesn't matter who starts. It matters who finishes.
Right.
And at the end of the day, there's a good chance that Malik Monk is in the starting five, is in the closing five
right.
every single game.
Yep.
Unless you have a player who is unstoppable and you need Keon Ellis to go out and stop him.
How many Six Man of the Year awards did Manu Ginobili win?
Two.
I'm stuck on a basketball reference page now. We'll continue the Kings discussion in a second.
Two?
One.
One.
How many times was he an all-star?
I don't know.
Twice. And they were both years that he was a starter. 2004-05, he started all 74 games. In 2010-11, he started 79 of 80 games.
Hey, man, it takes sacrifice to win, though. And the only thing that I think matters to... Two things matter to Manu Ginobili. Number one is that he's got four rings. And number two is that he has a gold jacket, just like everybody else.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he's a Hall of Famer.
Yeah.
And he's not a Hall of Famer as a European... well, maybe he is on the European vote. It doesn't matter. He would have been a Hall of Famer either way.
Yeah. He definitely would have. It's more about to just, now I'm nitpicking, but it's what he did at the end of his career. It was the sacrifice he made at the end of his career, where at age 34, it was clear like, hey, this guy still got it. Mm-hmm. Like, this guy can still, but instead of going off elsewhere and being like, no, I'm going to start, he went to the bench, and you mentioned it, the four rings, extended the number of rings he got by going to the bench later in his career. Mm-hmm. And that's where the sacrifice really comes in. Malik Monk turns into Manu Ginobili, the Kings are in a really good spot. So you think there's no chance he starts?
As of right now,
off the table?
Like, I don't know if your head coach is just going to keep bringing up that he wants you coming off the bench. Like, again, whatever they did to get Malik Monk to sign that contract, mm-hmm. it did not come with a promise that he would start. And the fact that he wants to start, mm-hmm. it's okay. Like, he should want to start. He should want to play 30 minutes a game. Like, I think the biggest thing for Malik is to show that he can play 30 minutes a game, mm-hmm. even in that super sub role.
Yeah.
And like, look, he's so valuable to this team. And I know somebody asked him about the shooting guard position. And he said, I don't consider myself shooting guard.
If he was that concerned with starting,
mm-hmm.
I don't know that he would have come back. If that was his ultimate goal, was to be an NBA starting point guard or shooting guard.
Yeah.
I don't think he probably would have come back to Sacramento.
I think by looking at how it played out, I think we can make a list. There are three things that were happening here. Yeah. Number one, money.
Yep.
Number two, the starting job. And number three, playing where he's comfortable, his mm-hmm. NBA home.
Mm-hmm.
And I think he, at the end of the day, he considered all of those three things, and he probably put them in a little on a piece of paper, which one is more important to me. And while money is the one that kept sliding up to the top and saying, I need to get paid, at the end of the day, that's not what he chose.
Well,
because there was more money out there. He chose his NBA home over the biggest payday. And then the last one is going to be that other piece, which is being a starter.
There was going to be money either way. It was, does role and comfort, is that worth $4 million a year or whatever?
Yeah.
Over the next 5 years. And winning, I think, was probably in there as well.
Mm-hmm.
Is not winning, potentially being uncomfortable in the new place, and starting, are all of those things worth $4 or $5 million a year?
Yep.
And he decided no. Last thing, real quick. Do the Kings consider Kevin Huerter's trade value in any of this? Because I operated all offseason like, okay, well, Kevin Huerter's not going to be on the team next year. And alas, here he is, and barring something insane, he's going to be on the team for the foreseeable future. Is that something you think they're taking into consideration when it comes to his minutes, his role?
I think it always has to be because, like, look, in the grand scheme of building a basketball team, like, if the Kings need to make a move at midseason, the easiest way to make that move is using Kevin Huerter's salary.
Right. That's
straight up.
And that's why his name comes up.
Yeah, I'm not trying to be disrespectful to Kevin Huerter.
Yeah, this is not right. We're not trying to kick Kevin Huerter out. It's just the reality of team building.
No, it's totally the reality. I mean, he's under contract for 2 years, and like, you still have to worry about that. Mm-hmm. What you can't do is have Kevin Huerter become a non-factor because he either doesn't understand or he's not happy with his role so bad that it becomes like a major issue,
mm-hmm.
and he becomes a drag on the team. And mm-hmm. I don't think that's going to happen. I don't think Kevin's that guy.
It doesn't seem like it.
I think he had a really difficult season last year, and when you started to take away things like starting jobs and stuff, I think it just exacerbated the situation, mm-hmm. made it worse, made him feel even like in a darker hole.
Yeah.
And hopefully he's through that. And so now it's like, how do I help the team? Mm-hmm. What's the best position he would love to start? But I also think that there's a tremendous amount of value that can be raised in Kevin Huerter as a guy who makes his career like Kyle Korver did, as a guy who just comes in, it's just lights out shooter off the bench.
Yeah.
There's a tremendous role in the NBA for that type of player. And if you can be that, and you could also potentially be a starter, and if you can prove that you can be a starter not only at the two, but potentially at the three,
mm-hmm.
like, look, and there could be injuries, and Kevin Huerter could be needed. Like, there's all kinds of things that are still in play here.
Yeah. Yeah, no doubt. I just have a hard time believing that Mike Brown is going to look down his bench. Let's say Keon Ellis is a starter.
Mm-hmm.
And let's say Kevin Herter's just not playing a ton. They've fallen into a nice rotation. They're 8-2 to start the year. I can't imagine Mike Brown is going to go, oh, shoot, Kevin's trade value. Let's mess up our rotation and get him in the game.
No.
I can't fathom that.
I get it.
I can't.
But you at least have to consider all things.
Yeah.
And
that's in the discussion. That's part of the discussion when they have their...
Yeah.
In my head, there's like a big powwow once a week or something.
You have to live in the nuances.
Front office and coaching staff.
Right? Like, all of this is part of the nuance
team meetings,
of the
like
discussion.
What's going on outside our window right
There's
now.
A team meeting that we're not invited to?
It looks like a little town hall with Aaron, the tribal chief.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm going to storm out there right now and see what the heck's going on.
You go for it.
I'm going to go find out what the heck's going on, and then you and I will find out what the heck is going on with Davante Adams down in Las Vegas. Is he going to be with the Raiders by next week? Doesn't look like it. We'll talk about it next. That's James Hamm, Kyle Madsen. We're the Insider, sponsored by Jiffy Lube on ESPN 1320, Sacramento Sports Center.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, 3-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Struggling with mental health shouldn't be the norm. At Mindful Therapy Group, we specialize in connecting you with compassionate therapists to find the perfect fit for you. Mindful Therapy Group accepts most health insurances. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com to start your mental health journey today.
It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
Now, back to the Insiders with James Hamm and Kyle Madsen, brought to you by Jiffy Lube on ESPN 1320.
We'll talk about Devontae Adams, because it looks like the Raiders are going to trade the star wide receiver. There's like beef with the head coach. And Devontae and Antonio Pierce haven't been talking, and then Antonio Pierce is liking Instagram posts about Devontae Adams playing his last game with the Raiders. It's a now, Devontae is saying he would prefer to be traded, and the
full-blown chaos.
It is just the Brandon Ayuk mess that the Niners were in. The Raiders are now in that realm heading into week 5. We'll talk about that in a second. But somebody in the chatty house during the break, if you want to hang out there, youtube.com/ESPN1320. We don't go to break. We just hang out. We're just around. We're here the whole day.
Yeah.
And we were talking at the break, and somebody said, are we sure that Malik Monk was going to get money elsewhere?
Mm-hmm.
Tyus Jones signed for the league freaking minimum with Phoenix. And Tyus Jones, like, what's Tyus Jones, like 28?
28, 29, yeah.
Like, he's not in ring chasing mode at this point.
No.
But Tyus Jones, really good player, got a minimum. Are we sure that, and that's a great question. But I think, A, the aprons and such played a role.
Yep.
Tyus Jones spending last year with Washington and everybody forgetting that he existed probably played a role.
Mm-hmm.
And then so much of what matters in these contracts is Malik is a few years younger.
Yeah, Tyus Jones he's now 28 and Malik is 26.
But Tyus Jones' value is like, he's going to start for Phoenix, but his value is like offensive stabilizer. He's going to distribute a little bit. Give him an open three, he's going to knock it down. He's not going to turn the ball over. Like, he's just going to do the right stuff.
Yeah.
Malik Monk is like a bucket getter, a scorer, a go-to guy for the Kings, particularly off the bench, and to close games.
Yep.
So when it comes to contracts like that, putting the ball in the hoop matters so much. And Tyus Jones was probably deserving of a larger contract than he got, to be sure.
Oh, no, for sure.
But the difference between what contract was going to be out there for Malik Monk and what contract was out there for Tyus Jones ties back directly to teams looking at Malik and going, hey, that could be like a lead number one scoring guard.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas Tyus Jones is, it's like a backup point guard who's just not going to turn the ball over.
Yeah, I mean, a backup or like pinch starter. I'll compare it this way, in two different ways. Number one, if you look at Tyus Jones today and what he means to the Phoenix Suns, if Keon Ellis starts for the Kings, he's basically the point guard version of Keon Ellis for the Suns. He will be the fifth option. He will be like a guy who might average 8 or 9 points a game. He's not going to make mistakes, and he plays good defense and all that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Like, and then the other thing I'll bring up is, like, there's this moment where in Matt Harpering's career that he's talked about.
Wow.
So Matt Harpering, sure. Georgia Tech legend, Utah
Jazz legend, yeah.
Right. So, and still I think he's their analyst on their broadcast. Matt Harpering went through his entire career as like a dirty work guy. Everyone knows he's just a hustle guy. He plays defense. He's feisty. He's rebounding, all this stuff, right? But Matt Harpering had a contract coming up, and he said to himself, hey, how do I get paid?
Mm-hmm.
And in that season, he decided to go all offensive, and he averages like 17 points a game, gets a massive extension.
Mm-hmm.
And then when he got that extension, he said, okay, I'm going to go back to the player I was, because that's not who I was last year. And I wasn't very good.
Mm-hmm.
Just my my offensive numbers look good.
That's what gets paid.
And that's what gets paid. It's the whole chicks dig the long ball. Mm-hmm. It's the home run. It's, you know, Malik Monk averaged over 15 points a game last year. Tyus Jones started and had unlimited opportunity and averaged 12. There's a ceiling to who he is. And lastly, the player I would compare Tyus Jones to in the grand scheme of free agency and everything else is Darren Collison. Mm. It's not Malik Monk. It's not Lou Williams. It's not Crawford.
Jamal Crawford.
That's not who you compare him to.
Jordan Clarkson, yeah.
No, it's not that. You compare him directly to a player like Jordan, like Darren Collison, who is a perfectly fine player, but he got a 3-year, $15 million deal in Sacramento, as opposed to, you know, even Isaiah Thomas got a 3-year, $21 million deal, which was a ridiculously low amount of money for Isaiah. Isaiah should have got 10 or 12 million bucks a year. And that's sort of the same exact, like they go into an offseason where Malik should have gone. Malik could have made 25 million bucks a year, probably with Orlando or Detroit. He chose less money to stay in Sacramento.
Yeah. All the reporting around it is that there was going to be money out there for him.
Yeah.
So that's what, that's just kind of what it comes down to, man.
Yeah.
And that sucks because, and frankly, I think it's where NBA teams, like all of them, have some shortcomings with their team building. Because a player like Tyus Jones, the Suns get him for a league minimum. I completely changed the way I thought about the Suns.
Oh, totally.
Like just that stabilizing offensive force that takes some of the playmaking onus off Kevin Durant, that takes some of it off of Devin Booker, certainly takes some away from Bradley Beal. Like, man, that's a really high quality player. But at the same time, if he had gone out and gotten let's say $15 million a year from the Pistons, you're like, what are they paying him $15 million a year for? He's just...
Yeah, that would have been the cap, though. If he would have got 20, we would have been like, oh my gosh, what in the world is happening? That is one of the worst contracts I've ever seen.
Yeah.
And then I would also say, like, I think what's tough is
really good player.
Some fans look at it and say, hey, look, the Kings went out and got Jordan McLaughlin at a league minimum deal, and they got Tyus Jones at a league minimum deal, and it's like, there's a big difference, and he's going to play for Phoenix, and he's going to be given a starting, well, he's going to earn, but he will be the starter most likely for that team at the point guard position because that's what they need. And he's willing to take less money to go play for a team that has no cap space and money for the potential to maybe win a ring. And what does that look for him next year?
Yeah, exactly.
Maybe next year is the year he gets his 12, 15 million bucks a year, right?
Where, I hope he does.
Where McLaughlin is, you know, kind of coming into a situation where it's like the $3 million is like, okay, that's kind of who you are as a player. And his role will be minimal, and he knows he's coming to Sacramento to be the backup to a guy who plays 35 minutes a night and is an All-NBA caliber player in De'Aaron Fox.
Yeah.
But, big difference.
Yeah. 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 Exactly. That was just a conversation we're having at the break.
Yeah.
The James Hammond Kyle Madsen Show is a podcast.
Oh, it is.
Subscribe to that. I was going to say, if you want more of that conversation, subscribe to the podcast, but the breaks, are not on the podcast, so I had to reroute the way I'm promoting the pod.
Okay.
The James Hammond Kyle Madsen Show, you get it wherever you get your podcasts. It is this show. We break it down by hour, and then we send out the full show. So anything you missed, anything you want to revisit, we'll have it for you there at the James Hammond Kyle Madsen Show. It's the Insiders. We just couldn't call it the Insiders for legal reasons that were explained to me that I don't remember.
Yeah.
As soon as they were like, well, legal said it.
Yeah.
Okay.
I don't even know what you're talking about.
If legal said it, I am not equipped to argue with them. Will they take nuh-uh as an argument? No? Okay, then I'm moving on.
Lame.
Well, that sucks. Let's shift gears real quick to the NFL. So as reported yesterday at various outlets, Adam Schefter, Ian Rappaport of ESPN and NFL Network respectively, saying that Davante Adams is saying he would prefer to be traded, and the Raiders are now gauging interest around the league. They would like at least a second round pick, or at least that's where the bidding is going to start. And then there's all these teams who could be interested, but the Chargers and Chiefs, that's probably not going to get facilitated because they're in their division. Does he reunite with Aaron Rodgers with the Jets?
There's all basically any team that could possibly use a receiver is going to call the Raiders about Davante Adams.
Mm-hmm.
My question here is not, if there's actual beef between Davante Adams and Antonio Pierce, and just your best offensive player and your head coach just are never going to get along, okay, fine. But it seems really clear to me that whatever disconnect is happening didn't just start, because it wouldn't be this dramatic right away. If Antonio Pierce liked one thing on Instagram that Davante Adams didn't like, and he went, hey, what the hell? That wouldn't have triggered this response. So this is something deeper to me, which makes me wonder why you, the Las Vegas Raiders, wouldn't have just moved him in the offseason. If you were so sure that this wasn't going to work, or if the ice was so thin that by week four, it's like, hey, this is untenable. He's asked for a trade. We're going to have to move him. I don't quite understand the logic, because we just talked about, get a really gritty win over Cleveland. You're hanging around. And that's what you can ask him to do this year. Can you just hang around? And maybe they think they'll be better without Davante Adams. Maybe they looked at their offense last week and said, hey, you know what? We can get by without him. Mm-hmm. Get Max Crosby healthy, like what we're doing defensively. All right, get him out of here. We'll recoup some draft capital. But it just seems to me like if you were that close, why was he on the team to begin with? You weren't going to win a Super Bowl this year. So why not get that bidding started in the offseason? Why not get that bidding started around the draft so you could get some players in to help you now? I don't know.
That's always going to be the question, like the timing of it, like the value in an NFL contract just goes down, right? Like I think it's interesting comparing the two. Like NBA trades happen all the time, and value builds throughout a season for a player, because you get to the All-Star break and a guy could be having a career year, or a guy could be in the final year, months of a contract, and you don't know if you're going to be able to retain him. He wants to go test free agency. So you might try to capitalize on his value today, worrying about what might happen down the road, right?
Mm-hmm.
The NFL is so different. Like, they build so much about the draft and about capital from the draft. And you rarely see, like, if the Raiders trade Davante Adams right now, they might get a receiver back, but the level of receiver you're getting back is not going to be anywhere near what his value is.
Mm-hmm.
And then it just feels like diminishing returns. Like, trading a guy right now doesn't, like, guys don't step in and, like, we discuss it a little bit, like Emmanuel Sanders, right? The 49ers trade for Emmanuel Sanders. He had a good finish to the year, but he didn't have like an all-pro finish to the year. And that's what Davante Adams is. He's an all-pro level receiver.
Yeah, he's one of the best receivers in the league.
Yeah. I mean, he could go somewhere and have an impact, but what kind of impact? And you need to find a quarterback that he's played with, which is why we're going to hear the Jets and the Saints like nonstop in this situation. But then you look at the Saints and it's like, okay, you have Olave, you have Rashid Shaheed. You look at the Jets, could they use him? Yeah. You know, they have Wilson, but then it's kind of bare after that. Mm. But like, it's so like situational, like wherever he's going to go has to be like a perfect situation for him to like take off and be productive.
Sorry, it's a little early. Sorry about that, guys.
No, you're good.
Uh-oh.
I'm walking in the doors if no one noticed, my bad.
You're fine, man.
We're okay.
You wanted to come in at the start of the segment, we'd be happy.
I love you guys. I was on my way in here early yesterday because I saw Ham leaving.
Yeah.
And then I got pulled into an office and talked to. So I get to see you guys.
Damian Barling, the handoff. D'Lo and KC coming up about noon. I was going to go to that meeting that was happening outside.
Yeah.
I was I walked out there to go make a joke. And it seemed like a kind of meeting where I was not going to go make a joke. Did I make the right move?
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah,
good.
This is
okay,
a good week to not make jokes during meetings.
Got it.
Very,
okay,
very
perfect.
Good week. Yeah.
Okay, yeah.
Tomorrow, implement the same strategy. Don't make a joke when everyone is out there, including people who aren't normally here. So that was a good call.
Oh, yeah, no, like the boss.
Yeah, yeah, but there was It was fine. Like, it wasn't.
I read
like
the room correctly, though.
No, it wasn't a tense meeting or anything like that. There was just a lot to go over. Like, there's a lot happening.
Sure.
Like, Aftershock is next week. I just found out I'm going to Disneyland on Monday. Like, you'll love that. I'm going to Disneyland on Monday. Or actually,
how does
Sunday.
Everybody at this station get to go to Disneyland except
so
us?
So hold on a second. Not everyone at the station gets to go to Disneyland. Everyone in the building except for this station
That's
gets
what
to
I
go
mean.
To Disneyland. So what happened is the wake-up call on 106.5.
Yes.
This is their thing. They go multiple times a year.
It's insane.
Gavin is not feeling well.
Right.
So they have to remove him from the trip because they have to have the trip booked and planned and can't risk him, you know, not being well when the weekend gets here. So Katie asked Complex if I could fill in and kind of take the lead and help her navigate this because Kevin is on a trip to China as well. So I'm going in hopes of introducing Disney to the wonderful world of KSFM and ESPN. That way, when the next Disney trip rolls around, our Disney aficionado, Kyle Mattson, is
so
broadcasting live.
So I told Jackie in promotions, we love Jackie. I said, hey, what do I have to do to get 1320 to go to Disneyland?
Yeah.
Because you go down there, you like do a show from there. It sounds like a great time.
Yeah.
She said, well, just talk about Disneyland on your show. I was like, bet.
Yeah.
We do that already.
You were
That's so easy.
A Stitch sweatshirt yesterday.
I'm wearing a Disneyland hat.
No, I
right now.
Okay, please don't be upset with me.
I'm angry.
I blame Damien.
I'm so mad at
I'm
you.
I'm very literally going to work for a fourth radio station. So like it's
his fault.
It's it'll be fun.
Yeah.
Morning radio is back for you, boy.
Mm. Is it?
It's 6 a.m. Yeah.
We're doing
the show from 6 a.m. at Disneyland.
Oh.
Yeah, that's a shoot.
How many days?
Just one. So we're getting there Sunday.
Right. You do the park on Sunday.
Doing a bunch of content stuff. And then we'll wake up, we'll do the show from 6 to 10.
Oh.
And then a bunch of content stuff and then fly back.
Sounds great.
Kyle.
Sounds like my.
I feel worse about ourselves at this point.
Yeah. Hey, when
she was telling me
them,
some sort of magic band that we get that like
Kyle gets worse. Beep in, yeah.
Yeah, that's what it does.
So sick.
But he probably gets all the extras. He can just go to any ride and just...
You can...
That's what she told me.
Oh, see.
Yeah, you can...
I was really excited to tell you about this. I almost texted to you, but I was like, no, this will be too good. I have to share it with them in person that I get to go to Disneyland.
That's so fun.
Kyle's going to punch Damien.
No. I'm happy for my friend that he gets to experience
I've
this.
Only been once.
Did you know...
Ever?
Really?
I've only been once, and it was just on a whim. I used to take a yearly trip to like Southern California and just like stay at the beach for the weekend and come back.
Mm-hmm.
I was doing that and I saw some stories of like some friends who were at Disneyland. I was like, hey, are you guys in Southern California? Are those like pics from today? She's like, yeah, we're going to Disneyland all weekend. I was like, I'm in Malibu. She was like, oh, pull up. Say less, because like her cousins worked at the park, so she had the whole thing.
Oh, great.
So I went and did a bunch of rides and then left. Like I didn't spend the whole day and night and all of that stuff there. Didn't have the full like experience. I just went and hung out for a little bit and left. So this will be the first time ever that I have like a real like Disneyland thing.
I'm so excited for this. Do you know one of my
I'm thrilled to hear this.
I can't wait. I have so many suggestions. at some point during the day, usually for me, it's about like 4:30, 5 o'clock.
Mm-hmm.
I go whether you want to do coffee or whatever juice you bring, or water or soda, or grab a snack or whatever, and just find a spot to sit and just take it in. Like just pause.
I don't know.
Okay.
I don't even know what just happened.
It's fine. It's better that you don't.
Find a spot to sit and enjoy the park.
I got it. Yep. Yep. Okay.
Throw the flag. Jesse just threw a flag. It happened.
Jesse threw that flag through the window.
It was flagrant. No, but seriously, like, because you start to notice, like, you're people watching, and you start to notice, like, all these little things that they do within the park that just make, like, there's music playing the entire time you're there, but you just don't. You don't really like notice it, but it helps the atmosphere. So it's just a really fun thing to do. It's like my favorite thing now that I'm old is I just like to sit and enjoy the atmosphere.
You're not old. Stop it.
I'm old in Disneyland years.
I guess. I'll be ancient in Disneyland years. You know, grandpa out here walking around. I'll look great though. I'll tell you that. I'll make sure that I look great.
Are you going to wear ears?
I think it's mandatory, but we'll see. It's not the easiest thing to put like hats on and off of my My hair is very, just leave it alone. So
sure.
Once it's done, just leave it alone. Okay. So we'll navigate those. I do believe it is a requirement to wear ears.
Okay. We can work on that. We'll power about it.
Yeah.
Okay, great.
I'll get a t-shirt. Excellent. And stuff. You want me to bring you something back? I know it's been a while since you've been there.
Yeah, it's been like 2 weeks.
Yeah. I'll bring you something back. It's changed a lot in the last 2 years. Last 2 weeks. I'll bring you something back.
Should the Raiders have traded Davante Adams before the season?
I guess in hindsight, yeah, probably. I don't think they entered this season believing they're a bad football team. And I don't think they are a bad football team.
Sure,
I think they're a really bad offense. And we were having this discussion. Yeah, I mean, obviously Kenny was, but Jesse and I really got involved in this discussion about, like, if you trade Davante Adams, like right now today, it doesn't mean you're throwing in the towel on the season.
Mm-hmm.
Your offense is already bad and Gardner Minshew isn't good enough to make Davante
That's
Adams
fair.
A true weapon.
Mm-hmm.
So I think the only way that the Raiders are throwing in the towel and going through a true rebuild is if they trade Max Crosby. And there's no hint that anything of like that nature is going to happen.
Right.
So
that'd be insane.
I guess you should have. I'd argue like right now, the market hasn't changed much. I mean, Pittsburgh wanted Brandon Ayuk. I got to imagine they'd want Davante Adams.
Oh, yeah.
The Jets, I'm sure, are still, you know, drooling over the idea of Davante Adams for their idiotic quarterback. You got and then I saw the thing. I didn't get a chance to like in-depthly go into this, but the Derek Carr stuff.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, the Saints.
The Saints.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
It's not like, boy, they didn't do it before the season. The market's really shriveled up. No, you got a 3-1 team mm-hmm. that might be like, hey, we could set ourselves apart if we get this quarterback, or excuse me, if we get this wide receiver. You got a Jets team that they have to win this year. There's no other alternative
right.
for them. It's like, okay, maybe you'd give up a little bit extra than you might before
yeah.
to land Davante Adams. There's a couple of, I mean, the Bills don't even have a number one wide receiver.
No.
I don't know that the Bills can absorb the salary.
Yeah, they're in trouble.
Yeah, that's more
totally
your bag than
frank,
mine,
yeah.
sure.
I don't know what they've done since. I know they were up against it.
They could trade with the Chiefs, just think what the Chiefs would give up, but they won't.
Yeah, they wouldn't do that in their division. That'd be crazy.
Well, I agree, but if it's an offer you can't refuse, you can't refuse it.
Yeah,
like,
Patrick
you need
Mahomes
to be a better
Davante
football.
Adams.
Well,
who says no?
You do that. Yeah. Yeah.
I think it's funny with the Jets, how going into this year, it was like, well, Aaron Rodgers is back, and they're going to win the Super Bowl because Mike Williams and Alan Lazard and Garrett Wilson, he's going to take off, and Breece Hall, wow, he's Christian McCaffrey, oh my God. And now they're like, they need help!
No, they were never a good enough team, and he's not a good enough quarterback anymore.
I blame Mike Greenberg.
And it's fine, he's 41 years old. It's fine to blame Greeny for anything. Like it's fine. Like for the love of God, man, shut up.
I half expect. You know how there's all the talk about who's going to replace Woj, and it's like Jeff Passan or
oh,
Adam
God.
Schefter.
Yeah.
I am like, hey, yep. Can I get odds on Greeny?
Greeny bomb. That's great. Yeah, sounds like a drug. Greeny bomb.
Except his tweet would always be like, a superstar could be on the move. We'll tell you who it is next.
Yeah, that's
and then you'd have to wait a while for his next tweet to come out.
By the time it comes out, Shams has already
got it three times. Click, click, click.
Shams has the full contract details by the time Greeny gets through his tease.
3 minute break.
Yeah. Jesus.
What do you guys got coming up on D-Lo and KC?
We'll talk about the Davante Adams stuff quite a bit. We'll talk about some things that James wrote about in the Kings beat last night. We
Good tease.
Played the sound of Mike Brown, you know, talking about Keon Ellis and Kevin Herter and some different questions that ESPN asked about the Sacramento Kings and other teams in the NBA. So, lots of good stuff with camp jumping off right now. And James will be back with us at 3 o'clock for the first time in like a week and a half.
I know.
Yeah.
It's been a while.
About time. Finally, got some, does some work
Slacker.
Around here. God.
Yeah. Although I assume you're going.
I'm going to camp
downtown.
Right now.
Yeah, yeah. Okay.
Yeah, I'm going to camp. And I'll
try it's like maybe something. He won't be with us now that I think about it.
Camp's at 1 o'clock today.
Okay.
Those you're asking.
I got you.
I was going to do another Davante Adams thing, but we got to go.
Okay.
So,
oh, okay.
Maybe if you guys talk about it and I'm in here,
we'll
I might jump in.
There you go. All right.
I might jump in. Okay, very good. That's Damian Barling.
Thank
D-Lo
you.
And
it
KC
is.
Coming
Thank
in.
You.
Yep,
I have
that,
been for a long
him.
Time.
Yeah, last time I checked. They're coming up next.
That's Disneyland Barling to you, pal.
D-Land and KC coming up next. Nope.
Just I'll see. We'll see you tomorrow.
Drink
good.
Water. Be nice.
Thank
to
you.
People.
There
Goodbye,
it is.
Everybody. Oh my God.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, three-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Struggling with mental health shouldn't be the norm. At Mindful Therapy Group, we specialize in connecting you with compassionate therapists to find the perfect fit for you. Mindful Therapy Group accepts most health insurances. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com to start your mental health journey today.
It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.